Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to SIS Limited Q4 and FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing the star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vineet Toshniwal, President, M&A and Investor Relations from SIS Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, hello everyone. My name is Vineet, and good evening everyone, and welcome to Q4 25 earnings call. I hope you had a chance to look at our results and the earnings note, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company website by now. We would like to take a moment for our fellow citizens which have been impacted by the recent unfortunate events in Pahalgam. This has led to a higher threat perception across the country, and it has heightened the significance of security also, as you all know. Now, talking about our Q4 and FY25 results, we are very happy to report that we have witnessed growth across all three segments. On a consolidated basis, SIS Group reported its highest-ever revenue of 3,428 crores, which is an increase of 9.3% on a year-on-year basis. India Security has reported its highest-ever revenue of 1,435 crores in this quarter, which is a 9.6% growth on a year-on-year basis. FM also reported its highest-ever quarterly revenue of 587 crores, which is 12.9% growth on a year-on-year basis. International Security reported its highest-ever quarterly revenue at 1,424 crores for Q4 25, which is a growth of 7.7% year-on-year. Now, talking about our earnings, it's been a constant endeavor to improve the margin profile across all segments. Our focus has been on margin improvement initiative, and it is now showing in terms of gradual improvement. We focused on margins both in terms of customer contracts as well as rationalization of SG&A costs. So, on a consolidated level, EBITDA grew by 10.1% year-on-year to 165 crores, which is highest-ever reported by SIS, and it translates to an EBITDA margin of 4.8%. India Security reported an EBITDA margin of 5.6%, up from 5.5% in quarter four FY24. FM has reported an EBITDA margin of 4.7%, which is 80 basis points higher on a year-on-year basis. Additionally, the segment also reported its highest-ever quarterly EBITDA of 27.4 crores, which is 34% growth on a year-on-year basis. For the International Security business, the EBITDA margin for Q4 FY25 was 4% compared to 3.8% in Q3 FY25. This is driven by new wins of $180 million in FY25. EBITDA continues on a path to recovery. For Q4 FY25, the EBITDA is 57.6 crores, which is 8.6% growth on a quarterly basis, QOQ basis. Talking about PAT now, our operating PAT for this quarter is 83 crores, resulting in an operating PAT margin of 2.4%, which is 52.9%, almost 53% growth on a year-on-year basis. However, as you have all seen, our reported PAT is -223 crores. This is because of non-cash goodwill impairment charge of 306 crores, which we have taken during this quarter for the investments that we had made in Henderson, SLV, and UNIQ, and ADIS. The details of this impairment are available in our earnings note. Now, as a result, after this impairment, our ROC has now improved to 14.3%, which was 12% in the last quarter. Now talking about operational efficiency, which is net debt and DSO, overall very happy to report that net debt is now at 429 crores, which is down by 460 crores from March 24, which was 889 crores a year back. So 889 is now down to 429. This brings the net debt to EBITDA ratio to 0.7, which was 1.5 a year back. This is the lowest level seen since June 21. Now, OCF to EBITDA is also now at 175%. DSOs have improved by 5 days to 65 days from March 24, driven by an improvement in collections. Update on cash JV. As you are all aware, we have filed a DRHP with SEBI in quarter 4, 25. Now, today on the call, I have Rituraj Sinha, Group Managing Director, Mr. Brajesh Kumar, Chief Financial Officer of SIS India, and Mr. R.S. Murali Krishna, President, SIS International. We'll now turn over for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question to the management may press star and 1. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and 1. The first question is from the line of Heath Vora from Guardian Capital Partners. Please go ahead.
Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
So, numbers. Just one question that I have is with the order wins that we caught in Australia, is this a recurring number or is it some one-off wins which we've received for the quarter?
No, this is a recurring, permanent and casual revenue. So just to give you context, our international business, particularly MSS, which is the flagship company of the international business, generally has new wins anywhere in the range of $40 to $50 million recurring revenue new wins per annum. Over the last year, they have booked $150 million, $150 million of permanent revenue, which will obviously impact not just FY26 but also the subsequent years.
Just one more on the low margin contract which we've been shedding. So we are seeing the margin improvement. So is it safe to assume that most of our low margin contracts are now behind us?
I think, let me take it part by part. I think in security business in India, I think the contract churning exercise is pretty much done. Therefore, we are reporting 5.5%, 5.6%. And I think gradually as we gain more operating leverage, that will go back to 6% levels, which is the pre-COVID normal level. In FM, it has taken more time than before, but even FM now is inching towards 5% EBITDA margin. And I think hopefully in the coming first quarter, you will see that even the FM business is out of the woods as far as the margins is concerned. As far as international is concerned, on the international side, the pre-COVID EBITDA margin level was roughly 4.5%. International is back at close to 4% already, and you can expect it to operate at that 4-4.5% band, you know, going forward as well. So I hope that explains.
Right. And just one last question was with regards to these the labor laws. Are we hearing anything new on the labor laws or any wage hike?
Well, you know, India enacted its four labor codes in 2020, 2021 and 2022. The model rules, because this is a central, this labor is a subject under the concurrent list of the constitution. So the federal government, central government can pass an act, but it has to be adopted by all the states, which then took the last 2-3 years. We were informally advised by the department functionaries on a casual chat basis that one can expect that this will be implemented, you know, somewhere around this month or two, you know, here and there. But I think the whole country's focus now is on different and more pressing national security matters. So it's very hard to say when the labor laws will get implemented, and the labor laws effectively are the trigger for minimum wage reset for security workers. So as much as we would like this to happen as soon as possible, I believe that the timing is not within our control. But having said that, as and when labor laws get impacted, security or businesses like us might be the few that stand to directly gain as a result of higher wages.
Got it. And just the last question is, would you like to give any guidance for the upcoming year? How do you expect the growth?
I don't think we give any guidance, but your last 7 years of listed performance will tell you that our quarterly CAGR for revenue is close to 15% and our quarterly CAGR for EBITDA also is close to 15-16%. So I think you will have to take reliance on that.
That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Gopinatha from PNR Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of results this time and good order from Australia. My only question is, why this that we have taken write off, what do you call, goodwill write off this particular quarter? Any specific reason, or is just normal procedure? I don't understand why it has been taken now itself.
Well, our auditors, as per the mandate, as per the regulation, as well as good practice, our auditors do an impairment testing of the goodwill annually with the final results. It's also done every quarter, but I think this time we had a consensus on the matter that transactions that were acquired just the year before COVID, 2019, and their actual business performance has not been in sync with what was initially projected at the time of acquisition. As a result of which, against a higher goodwill taken in 2019, we ended up paying lesser for the acquisition because the businesses didn't perform in sync with their plans due to COVID. it eventually resulted in a mismatch. And if you remember last year also, we had taken a provision, impairment for Henderson. And now what we've decided is that we have taken the pending impairment requirements with regards to Henderson and also the two other major acquisitions that happened in 2019, which are SLB and Unique. So we have taken all those impairments, and that's the reason why you see this 306 crore impairment entry. But I would like to underline for, I mean, everybody would be appreciating that. I just wanted to underline two, three important aspects. Number one, please note that we have not paid extra for these businesses, as these were staggered acquisitions and poor performance meant that we've actually paid lesser than initially envisaged for these transactions. Number two, as far as accounting is concerned, this is a non-cash entry. So operating profit after tax remains at 318 for the year, and free cash for the year stands at 602 crores. A detailed note on this particular aspect is on page 4 of the earnings note. You might have to, might like to run through it for greater clarity.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sir, I understood it, sir. My doubt was, like, last year we have taken the goodwill write-off, so I thought that was it, and again it came. So I wanted to know why particularly this quarter, is there any slowdown in those businesses which we have taken in this particular year again, that kind of a doubt it is, not on the total overall situation. I mean, we have taken last year, we are taking it. Yes, sir.
So if you go back and you look at our transcripts and reports of the previous years, you will see that even last year we had clearly stated that we are taking part of the Henderson impairment this year and the remaining will happen next year. So we had announced it 1 year in advance. So basically impairment was taken in steps. But now that all is done and behind us, so you can rest assured that this is not an annual fixture.
Okay. Are there any other businesses or acquisitions where we need to take further, or everything is done, sir? Is it a clean slate now?
Well, the auditors are better placed to comment on that. But as far as my understanding is that even as goodwill is tested every quarter, having gone through that entire exercise just now, I don't see any residual impairment requirement that we have not taken. So Henderson impairment is complete. SLV impairment is complete, almost. So basically, I don't think that there is any significant, concern on this count.
Okay, that's assuring, sir. Thank you, thank you. Thank you very much. That's it from my side.
Thank you. A reminder to all participants that you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Chirag from Keynote Capitals. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. I just have a follow-up question on the earlier participant. As you said that majority of impairment as per you has been done for now and for foreseeable time you are not seeing. I'm able to see that there is 700 crores worth goodwill still on books. Could you just elaborate, this goodwill is for which particular entity, and is there a possibility for an impairment for any other entity to come into picture in future?
Okay, this is
Dilip.
The remaining 700 goodwill which is appearing in the books is mainly related to the past acquisition, like MSS, DTSS, RSPL. And during the process of accounts formation, the auditor has done the impairment testing of all the entities. And in other than these three entities for which we have taken the impairment, there is no indication there is enough headroom available as per the impairment order. So Quarter is has a confidence that we don't need to take any further impairment on account of any of these entities going forward. As of now, as per the result till now.
Thank you. That is it from my side.
The next question is from the line of Subir Sen from Aditya Birla Sun Life. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just 2 points I have. What would be the management priorities in this financial year? And any comments on ATJJ, whether that will continue or any views on that?
For now, I don't see any change in the budget announcements as well with regard to ATJJ. So I think the ATJJ provision continues as is with no change. As regards to the management priorities, I think management priorities always are on four metrics for us, like any other business: revenue growth, margin improvement, better free cash generation, which is OCF to EBITDA, and higher return ratios. So we continue to work on all four metrics. We are growing at roughly 8-10%. We want to grow faster. Our EBITDA margin has improved, but we are keen that it should improve further in the coming year. Our DSOs are fixed in the security business, but I think there is headroom for improvement in the international side and the FM side. And as far as return ratios is concerned, Vineet already explained that our return ratios are back to 15%. And I think with a little bit faster growth and margin improvement, we'd like to see this moving upwards from 15%. So I think that's the key four metrics that we track our business on and also set KPIs basis.
Would there be any equity dilution in the company?
We don't need equity dilution at this point in time, to the best of my understanding. We are operating at 0.7 times net debt to EBITDA. There is enough headroom for debt, and there is no pressure on us. In fact, even the debt that we have, the gross debt that we have, the average cost of that debt is barely 7-7.5%, and we are negotiating our interest rates down with banks already. So I don't think that at this point in time, equity fundraising is a priority per se.
And would you be also looking at any new or a adjacent line of business in this financial year?
We are a security, cash logistics and facility management company. That's how we define ourselves. And that's the niche in which we intend to operate and strengthen our market share and service content.
Just one point of repetition. I think that goodwill of 700, you mentioned that mostly the impairment testing has been done and there would not be any further requirement of any impairment now. That is the right understanding based on the performance of the companies which were acquired?
That is correct.
Thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is a follow-up question. It's from the line of Gopinatha from PNR Investments. Please go ahead.
In Australia, we got a big leap in orders. Is there any change that we have done? Or my question is in terms of, will this kind of, this level of orders will keep coming every year, or is there a possibility of improvement, or how is it, or we got this time and how is it, sir? Can you please elaborate on that?
Thanks for the question, Mr. Gopinatha. This is Murali Krishna. So this is, we have been investing on our business development efforts ever since COVID recovery time. So what you're seeing this year is a result of 2 to 3 years of investment that we have done. And we have landed on some of meaty contracts, one being defense and another being Sydney Trains locally. So these kinds of events don't happen every year. It's a mature market. But we are happy that, you know, we have been able to gain market share in this business in such a significant manner. So while we are very happy about the wins and we would like to continue to keep winning in the market, this is certainly a great year, that might not repeat as much going forward.
Okay. Sir, this EBITDA margins there were compressed for because of their labor charges increase by the government there. That pressure is not there on these orders, right? It's all at our comfort level.
Okay, so primarily in the Australian market, there is what is called a fair work wages, which is pretty much similar to the minimum wages out here in India, and these keep changing every year after year, and these are different in different states and different awards and enterprise agreements as well. So this is what we do is, in our business there is a pressure in the labor cost, largely not because of these minimum wage increases, but it's because of non-availability of labor in the market. And that situation, as and when it eases, we are seeing early signs of that easing, but as and when it eases, will reduce our pressure on the cost of labor as we move forward. So it has got nothing to do with the minimum wage side, it is more the availability of manpower.
Okay. Last question, sir. We were looking into a few acquisition opportunities. Are there anything to be and you have anything to tell?
So this is Vineet. See, we are constantly on the lookout, but we won't be making any forward-looking statements for acquisition. As in, when we tie up something, definitely you will get to know. But we are looking out in all security, FM, cash logistics, all three segments.
Okay. The thing is, there was a pressure in the market, and there were many people direly looking for somebody to acquire. Is the situation the same, or is there any improvement in competitor situation also? You can tell in those terms also, it's okay. You don't need to name any company, sir.
Oh, there is always a dearth of good assets for sale, and even more so at the right price. So I think one can only comment about acquisitions when a definitive agreement is signed. What I want you to note is two things. First, that SIS has acquired more than 15 companies in the past. Since listing, we would have acquired close to, you know, at least 5 or 7 companies. So we have wide experience of M&A and successful M&A. The second point, that SIS growth is not M&A dependent. We are primarily an organic growth entity, and we are very comfortable, you know, not doing any M&A. We don't do M&A for the sake of growth at all. So both those things are facts. As and when we have something tied up, we will let you know. As of now, there is no definitive agreement signed with anybody.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rituraj Sinha for closing comments.
It seems there's a question from Amit, so I'll take that question and then I will proceed with my concluding remarks.
Yes, sir. The next question is from the line of Amit Kumar from Retirement Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Just a bookkeeping question, really. Could you just talk about, during FY25, I mean, the progress that you have made in terms of the solutions business with respect to India Security and FMS? What is the share of, solutions presently versus, last year?
Well, the improvement is not as much as we would like. In security business, it is still sub 10%, and in FM business, it is closer to 30%. When I say solution, you must understand there is man and machine. Now, that could be machine learning, or it could be equipment of different types, from cleaning equipment to various others. So when we use more than manpower and we work on outcome basis, not on input basis. So outcome basis means when we sign up contracts towards outcomes and not just a headcount, we bundle all of that under solutions. So in FM, that stacks up to close to 30%, and in security, it's still under 10%. In fact, it's closer to 5-6%, single digit.
Understood. So on the, FMS side, I mean, given the fact, you've discussed this, in the previous, conference calls, and, we are sort of, relatively new to the company, so solutions are supposed to have, relatively, higher margin, vis-à-vis, services. And as you're saying that in FMS, almost 30% of, share of revenue is coming from, solutions, but margins are on the, lower side. So could you just sort of, explain that, dichotomy a little bit? Is this because of lower scale in some sense? And at what sort of level of scale will this, will the solutions, please start to, contribute, more robustly to margins?
So I think this operates at multiple levels. At a gross margin line, what you're saying is correct. Higher solutioning means higher gross margin. That is a correct statement. However, when you talk in terms of EBITDA, there is operating leverage that has to play through. So if you're growing single digit, if you're growing 9%, 10%, and the wage cost of your non-billing staff is growing higher, your unit operating costs are growing higher, it doesn't sort of percolate down to EBITDA level as apparently as one would assume. So in summary, what I'm saying is that yes, higher solutions means higher margins, but higher solutions with higher growth percentage will yield higher operating leverage, higher EBITDA. So that is something we need to get right. The FM business in the past, as you have seen, when it was growing, when it was maintaining 6% EBITDA margin, the FM business in those years was growing more than 20%, 25%, even 30% in certain years. So that has really tapered down because we've been far more conscious about taking on contracts. We are refusing low margin contracts. We are foregoing existing contracts if the margins are not reasonable enough. So for all those reasons in FM, you see, the EBITDA is still below 5%.
So I understand that part, my question was like more structural, right? That, given that you have a significantly higher share of business, coming from, solutions, within the FMS, sort of segment, structurally margins there should be higher, right? But, we don't sort of see that. I mean, one is the trajectory of margins, I understand that. So that I just wanted to get a little bit of sense on.
The pricing points for FM and the unit margin on FM is lower than security.
I missed the last one. Can you please repeat that? Price point then?
The price point for an FM manpower, for example, per unit is lower for cleaning services or FM services than it is for security. That's the way the industry is structured.
That's fine, right? Because at the end of the day, as far as solutions business is concerned, any which ways, you're not pricing on a manpower, basis. It is on outcome basis, essentially. So that should not matter. I mean, from an absolute EBITDA per person or per manpower perspective, it might matter, but not from a margin delta perspective. Should it?
It does. The gross margin of my FM businesses are lower than the gross margin on my security business. And when a lower gross margin business grows slower, then the percentage SG&A compared to percentage of revenue SG&A goes up, you lose operating leverage, and that shows up on your EBITDA.
All right. All right. Understood. Thank you. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you so much. I know it's a holiday today, but for all of you who have been kind enough to take time to join this call, I am very grateful. Q4 FY25 is a good quarter for SIS. I think for the last two quarters, our numbers are more in line. 165 crore EBITDA run rate, quarterly EBITDA run rate. This is the first time we have gotten to that level. We are bullish about the growth prospects in the first quarter organically, and with our return ratios improving as a result of recent actions, I think the business is in better shape. With our DSOs reducing and our net debt being the best it has been in the last 5 years, I think we are in better shape to support that growth. I think what also is very interesting is that the international business is sitting on a large bag of contracts to execute, which should give them good tailwinds. The cash business, DRHP, we received first comments or first feedback from SEBI just yesterday. So I think that project is coming along well. That listing exercise also aims to bring back capital into SIS to further reduce our net debt situation. So overall, I think the company is poised for strong numbers, and we hope that we will continue to execute and try our best to meet your expectations. Thank you very much once again. I wish you all the best. And I would once again request everybody to kindly look at the earnings note. Take note of page number 4 for the goodwill impairment aspect, which is the big development this quarter, just to have clarity as to what is happening. Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of SIS Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.